The story of the little girl who was born Frances Gum in the town of Grand Rapids, Minnesota, and became one of the greatest performers of our generation, has been told too often to repeat here. It seems odd that in 1936, when Judy first appeared on a screen in a short subject entitled Every Sunday Afternoon, that it would be with one of my early discoveries, Deanna Durbin, 20 years ago. And now Deanna and Judy are both married and the mothers of two children each. Tempus dus fugit. That's Latin for kid, you're showing your age. Deanna has retired, satisfied just to play the role of housewife and mother. But Judy will never stop. She has a tremendous enthusiasm for living. And when asked by a newspaper reporter how she feels about show business, Judy answered, "Is there any other business?" Mickey Rooney attended the same classes in school with Judy Garland on the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer lot. Judy was a little mischievous. She wasn't interested in reading, writing, and arithmetic, as she was in singing, dancing, and acting. And when Mickey kidded her one day and said, "I see you're at the bottom of the class," Judy just shook her head and said, "So what? They teach the same at both ends." When Judy did her famous show at the Palace Theater in New York a few seasons back, she was on the stage for more than an hour and a quarter. Sang, danced, clowned. I kept watching and admiring the punch in Judy, the way she just made the audience do everything but jump up and kiss her. Such showmanship. I couldn't get over it, and when I went back to her dressing room, I said, "Judy, I don't understand it, the way you handled the audience tonight. Your whole career's been the movies. Where did you learn to handle a live audience like that, a young girl like you?" Judy says, "From watching old guys like you, Jack Benny and Georgie Jessel." Well, I don't know what Georgie and Jack will think, but I considered it a great compliment. I just happened to love that girl. When she was a mere babe in Hollywood, at the famous Trocadero restaurant one Sunday night, before a room full of celebrities, I heard her sing the song, and I knew a star was born. Here is Judy and You Made Me Love You.
You made me love you. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me love you. And all the time you knew it. I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times, sir, you made me feel so sad. You made me sigh, 'cause I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I think you're grand. That's true, yes I do, deed I do, you know I do. I must tell you what I'm feeling. The very mention of your name sends my heart reeling. You know you made me love you. Oh, gee, Mr. Gable, I don't want to bother you. Guess you've got a lot of girls to tell you the same thing. And if you don't want to read this, well, you don't have to. But I just had to tell you about the time I saw you, and it happened one night. That was the first time I ever saw you. And I knew right then you were the nicest fella in the movies. I guess it was because you acted so, well, so natural-like. Well, not like a real actor at all, but just like any fella you meet at school or at a party. And then one time I saw you in a picture with Joan Crawford. And I had to cry a little, because you loved her so much, and you couldn't have her. Well, not till the end of the picture, anyway. And then one time I saw you in person. You were going to the Coconut Grove one night, and I was standing there when you got out of your car, and you almost knocked me down. Oh, but it wasn't your fault. No, I was in the way. But you looked at me, and you smiled. Yeah, you smiled right at me as if you meant it. And I cried all the way home just because you smiled at me for being in your way. Oh, I'll never forget it, Mr. Gable. Honest Injun, you're my favorite actor. I don't care what happens, let the whole world stop. As far as I'm concerned, you'll always be the top, 'cause you know you made me love you.
That was Judy Garland singing You Made Me Love You.
This is Eddie Cantor reminding you that if you want to live to be 80, don't look for it on your speedometer.